I'm with Annette Breure. I'm phoning her. She's in The Hague, but she's going to come to Brittany in a couple of weeks' time to talk about plants. So, Annette, hi.
Hi.
Could you tell us what the talks are going to be about?
Yes, I'm going to do two talks, and the first one actually will be already coming Sunday. And it will be about plants that most of the people know, like stinging nettle or dandelion.
Right, I have got lots of those in my garden if you need some.
Yeah, well, the thing is, so most people maybe have them in their garden or they grow along the road, but not many people know really a lot about the history of those plants. So I will talk about the history and folk tales where they are main characters in that show actually their role in our culture.
Okay.
Also the symbolism they have or the way they used to be used and sometimes also still could be used.
So could you just tell us about one of the uses of the stinging nettle, for example?
Well, the stinging nettle is said to really is very stimulating plant. It could stimulate blood flow. For example, it is said that the Romans, when they came into the colder regions of, well, France, Brittany, Netherlands, where I'm from, they used stinging nettle and hit themselves with stinging nettle to keep their blood flowing to get more warm, to fight the cold.
And presumably then they boiled the stinging nettles because they're not very pleasant.
Well, the way for that use, it's externally, so they really hit their skin with it.
Wow.
But yes, you can also make a tea of it. You don't need to boil it beforehand, but you can just pour the hot water on it. You could also eat it raw if you get the really young leaves.
Yes, I have. I've eaten the tip of a nettle raw, and
exactly.
I think I've also had a soup made with nettle in Greece.
Yeah, that could very well be. Actually, it has often very beautiful color as well, the soup, right? Bright green.
Why Brittany, anyway? Why are you coming to Brittany to talk about these plants?
Well, when I was studying, I was actually started, my background is languages and cultures. I studied languages and cultures, actually, especially the Arab language and culture. Mm. But when I started to study plants, I started with medicinal plants, and for my studies, I went to Brittany to learn, to do like an internship at the plant nursery in Brittany, so Aromatique, close to Sker and Banalec, where that's also the place where I will give these lectures now. So because after that first period that I spent there at the plant nursery, I went back. And I really like the place to learn more mice, but also to keep in touch with the knowledge that there is there. And I made friends there, so that's also
good idea.
And so after studying the medicinal properties of plants or how plants can be used, I started more to delve into the histories, which actually suit also my background as somebody who studied languages and cultures. So that's where that stories came back.
Right, and the stories that they have about these plants in Brittany, for example, are they fairly similar to the stories of the plants elsewhere? Is there any kind of commonality between them?
In the uses of the plants, you mean?
Well, not so much uses, but the kind of folklore.
The folklore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like to study the plants that are common on various continents. And there's, for example, that's a plant where I will talk about as well coming Sunday, the mugwort. It grows, here in Europe, it grows in Asia. And I have, for example, Egyptian tale about it, folk tale about it, Japanese folk tale about it. And yes, there's some similarities. Because in every continent, this plant is very well known for its ability to relieve pain.
Oh, wow. We'll have to look out for that one.
There are also slight differences. The way it's been used exactly, or like it's nice to study that kind of plant.
Right. So the next time I have toothache, then I should look out for this mugwort. How will I recognize it? Does it have a flower?
Mugwort? It has flowers, but not very how do you say it, not very bright or big ones. It's more a bit like the stinging nettle, small greenish flowers. Wow. But the thing, yeah, I mean, one of the things to be able to recognize mugwort is almost always has a very grayish, whitish side on it. Some mugwort species have it only on the back, the lower side of the leaf, and other species have two sides of the leaves, grayish, whitish color, but it's not enough really to recognize the plant, I guess.
It's a useful plant to have around. Okay, yes. So you're giving two talks altogether, and there'll be, what, illustrated talks, are they, using slides, or will you be taking people out?
Well, it will be at the plant nursery.
Right.
Aromatique. So most of the plants I will be talking about are there, growing there, so that we have live examples. And if not, I will have pictures with me, but most, like 90% of the plants will be there.
And do you do a similar kind of thing over in Holland?
I do, yes. I work here, for all kind of organizations, also in communal gardens. And it's my aim is actually to help people connect more with their environment and to also with our roots in that sense, our own history, our own culture. But in the broad, like, not only of this region, I really like also to, because we have this diversity of cultures in the Netherlands as well, a lot of immigrants, and it's also nice to have stories from various cultures, and like you said, also to compare them, it's really nice.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Annette, well, thank you very much for talking to us. By the time this goes out, it'll be December, unfortunately, so after this November, are you due to make any further visits to Brittany?
I will come back in summertime again, but somewhere in July.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. We'll look out for you and enjoy the talks.
Thank you.